This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, my loving Savior. His words for love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
Stay with us this morning, and Dr. Wyatt will relate the timeless words of the Apostle that we too might please God.
Thank you, Dennis. Yes, how can we truly please God? Sharon's reading is from the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians, and it does come down to sharing the gospel.
You yourselves know, brother and sisters, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and had been shamefully maltreated in Philippi, as you know, we had courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great opposition. For our appeal does not spring from deceit or impure motives or trickery, but just as we have been proved by God to be entrusted with the message of the gospel, even so we speak, not to please mortals, but to please God, who tests our hearts. As you know, and as God is our witness, we never came with words of flattery or with a pretext for greed, nor did we seek praise from mortals, whether from you or from others, though we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children. So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very, very dear to us. You remember our labor and toil, brothers and sisters. We worked night and day so that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how pure, upright, and blameless our conduct was toward you, believers.
Thank you, Sharon, so very much. This reading from 1 Thessalonians is Paul simply continuing his concerns that he has expressed earlier, that the Thessalonians know how he and the others had lived among them, and the kind of results that had been achieved in their lives. It is hard to miss his repetitive use of "you know," and thus his use of "you remember." This is about the church remembering what had occurred and what kind of men they were among them. This is then the beginning of his narrative, and what Paul is bringing to the fore is what they had proclaimed, and that as a result they had accepted what was preached and they believed. It is apparent that Paul is addressing the accusations of some in the city that he was only interested in making money out of his converts. It was not so much about his message. Such itinerant philosophers and teachers only seeking to feather their own nests were actually quite common, especially in Greece. Paul, to combat this falsehood, calls on the Thessalonians to only remember what actually occurred while he was with them, that his visit with them had not been in vain, or better, the visit was not wanting in purpose or earnestness, as J.B. Lightfoot has translated. First in Paul's mind is to remind them that they came to Thessalonica after being so shabbily treated by those in Philippi. And we know from Luke's narration in the book of Acts that Paul had been flogged and with Silas had been placed in stocks in prison. And then when the jailer would just free the two, Paul refuses to leave until the city leaders, or praetors, came personally to make amends for the ill treatment they had given Roman citizens. Yet despite such treatment, and even great opposition even in Thessalonica, they waxed bold that no amount of difficulties, opposition, or persecution was able to dampen Paul's confidence and boldness. They had, in his words, the courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God, emphasizing, if we needed reminding, that the gospel is of divine origin, not human. And further, it had not been easy, but a real struggle, and not with some token opposition, but the word implies an actual battle. So whatever these detractors may be saying, Paul is saying, surely you and the church know better from what you know of us. Their proclamation, or appeal as he phrases it here, was not based in error. Paul is not mistaken in his preaching or deluded, but it is the good news. It cannot spring from error, nor is it based on impure motives. It is not that some accuse Paul of uncleanliness or some sexual misconduct, but again, it's the charge of greed, of endeavoring to fleece a deluded people. Nor is it of guile. The message is in no way an attempt to trick the people, referring undoubtedly to the miraculous signs that did accompany the ministry of Paul. The Thessalonians would know this by their own experience and give the lie to these charges. When one reads Paul's denial of such charges of greed, such impure motives, it must give pause to those who call themselves ministers of the gospel, whose chief ambition seems to be living well, not just comfortable, but elaborate housing, expensive clothes, even I have heard in some cases of a Rolls Royce, and living as if this was their right, a sign of God's blessing, and not actually a sign of self-centeredness and deceit. Such an elaborate life does appear to be a repudiation of Paul's entire ministry, and certainly his words here and elsewhere. How many who live high or at ease, finding ministry just a comfortable existence, no challenges or hard undertakings, could such say with Paul, "We have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel"? Do they even proclaim the gospel of deliverance, salvation, healing, and the kingdom? Such a message is not to please men. It never does, but it pleases God. Paul is confident of his message and thus his confirmation. He needs no affirmation or approval of men, for he knows he has God's approval. There is something so wrong with fawning over people to gain their approval, of just trying to please people. This is about doing God's will, as did the ancient prophets who so often rubbed people the wrong way. As Ahab said of Micaiah, the son of Imlah, "He I hate, for he never prophesies good concerning me, but evil." Unquote. But that was the word of God to Ahab. Evil. We are not free to proclaim what others always wish to hear, but what God's word declares to us. But such pleasing of God is sometimes not often seen, but will carry far greater significance for one's ministry in their own heart and mind. The charlatans, the deceivers can appear to be Christian. The words seem familiar. The message even might seem right, but watch the fruit. I was once given the compliment after a particularly moving service where the Spirit moved and people were saved and healed. As the crowd gathered around the altar, this person was surprised. The crowd surely was in my hands, and they wondered what would be my gimmick. How would I use it? And they were pleasantly surprised. I had no gimmick. I was there to minister to the people, not to produce some trick to line my pockets. I couldn't understand anyone even thinking that way, using the moving of the Spirit for gain. To me, there's no surer way to lose the Spirit in my mind or to poison a ministry than such deceit. One should truly tremble at what ultimately awaits them if they do such. For the gospel is not man's doing, it is God's. And I do believe this. How dare one tamper or abuse or use for one's own purpose? God approved of Paul, Silas, and Timothy, but too many today mouth the words, mimic the gospel, but with no anointing or even a calling by God. Paul didn't serve men. For so many today, it's all about them being served and flattering each other, using it as a cloak for their own gain or comfortable existence. Paul's point is that they did not seek the glory from men, even though Paul says they could have made demands as apostles of Christ. In other words, they could have made a point of their apostolic authority, but chose not to. It is as if the Spirit held them back, unlike Philippi, to accept any gift, but instead worked, actually laboring hard, working day and night, not to be a burden to them. And thus making false this accusation that their ministry was only to gain financially from them. This could not possibly be true. This is, interestingly, the first use of the word apostle in the New Testament. This letter with Galatians are our earliest Christian writings. And the word used here is plural, including at least Silas. To Paul, the word apostle is special, including the 12. But it is not exclusive to them, but includes a larger group, those seen as holding an apostolic ministry, as being commissioned as such by the Lord and the Holy Spirit. It is not a title to be bandied about by just any pastor, something anyone can assume. Not that I don't believe apostles now exist, they do. It is a valid ministerial calling. But such are to be humble and gracious enough to not assume such. Those that do assume such a title, I would immediately question their motives. In the grace of God's gift in ministry, the greatest virtue is to take the lesser seat at the banquet, that you be asked of the Lord to come higher, not be humiliated by being asked to leave and sit at a lower place. Paul continues his defense by further reminding them of how they were with them, that they were babes among you, like a nurse taking care of her children. There are here some textual questions, but I have used the word babes or innocent infants rather than the word gentle. The textual evidence is strong, and the image or analogy flows better. From innocent babes to nursing mothers, to a moving phrase, we being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also ourselves because you had become very dear to us. There are few passages in all of Scripture that reveal a more touching, deep concern or love for a group of people, that these men were innocent like babes among them. There was no personal agenda or unsavory motives. They were so careful, like a young mother with her child, so affectionate and desirous for them. All because we loved you so much, Paul says, giving ourselves as you are so dear to us. This contrasts so drastically with the accusation of their opponents. They had not misled, used trickery. There were no impure motives, no flattery, greed, or seeking human praise. But they did everything for their betterment, like a mother with her children. They had delighted in seeing the fruit of them finding Christ and the joy of salvation. All they needed to do was recall all that had occurred among them and the truth of their love, and that they toiled to supply their own need. Paul then calls on God and the church to bear witness to this truth. This, of course, is the legal requirements of Scripture for at least two witnesses. Witnesses to just how holy and righteous and blameless was their behavior to you believers. And Paul concludes his use of such metaphors, going from describing themselves as innocent infants to nursing mothers to now as a father with his children. The obligations of a father in this world was to train his children in values, character, and virtue. As Paul states here, to exhort each of you, encourage you, and charge you to lead a life worthy of God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. This is the ideal closing for those called, elected to live under God's sovereignty, to realize the promise of His kingdom now and its fullness to come, which includes God's own glory. This is to be our heritage, a hope that is more than a promise, but assured in Him. It is what this faith of ours is all about, a people fit, prepared, made complete and holy to be able to abide in the very presence of God. It is the restoration of Eden, the existence for which mankind was originally made. It is about our being remade by His Spirit dwelling actually in us, a people in His own image, meaning we take on His nature, character, and values. That which was on full display in the incarnation, the very enfleshment of God. Thus, this is not about what will be, but what is to be in us, a life in Him. It is why Paul is so personal here, so apologia, so defensive with these new believers. They dare not retreat, compromise, or dilute the truth. This is Paul's words to us. He would love you as much. He is as desirous and loving that you not miss out on the greatest faith, the only faith worth talking about, the greatest hope, and the greatest love. There is nothing of more worth, more important than sharing this story of Jesus and His love, and living that life in ourselves. The truth of this faith of ours is not just important, but critical to every soul on this planet. We preach, testify, proclaim for one reason. We care. We want all to stand before the Lord and He to be pleased with us. Indeed, my Lord and Savior, I want us all who hear my voice, to stand firm in the faith and to be able to stand before our Lord and have Him say of us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Can anything greater be said? Can there be a greater award or approval? No, not really. It is about His glory, His work in us, that His kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.
To follow Jesus is not a call for the faint of heart, and as we should all know, we are to count the cost. Discipleship is a serious undertaking, and it is the necessary and unavoidable call upon all Christians. This is what Thomas has written about in his most timely book, The Question of Discipleship. Just what is a disciple, and what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? This is a scriptural look at this important subject and should be in the hands of every Christian. So just write and ask for the book, The Question of Discipleship. It can be yours at no charge. We want you to know just how much we appreciate all of you, our friends who support this ministry, with your prayers and, yes, your kind gifts. And to those of you who are not yet a part of the Wings of Healing family, we pray that you would seriously consider supporting this ministry, which enables us to proclaim the Word of God throughout the world and to underwrite our children's homes and evangelists in many parts of the world. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends, the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. Our lives are to be in God. And as Maria of Modesto, California has written, Nothing is more important. Dr. Wyatt, I just want to thank you all for your prayers. God has worked marvelously. With the contentiousness over Uncle Ralph's estate, with prayer seemingly overnight, everyone's attitude has changed. All was settled amicably, and everyone is pleased that this is over, and no problems remain. It had to be an act of God. I know the situation, and it surely must be. But now, before we close, Dennis will give our addresses once more, and Jen Johnson performs that wonderful hymn, The Goodness of God. So until next week, know that it is good to please our God.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and this week Dr. Wyatt is offering his newest and very timely study titled, The Question of Discipleship. Now, here is briefly and biblically presented just what is meant by discipleship, what it means to follow Jesus. This is important for all believers, so do write and ask for The Question of Discipleship. It can be yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at the same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.